for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday afternoon, December the 31st, 2009. Garla Batod is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on The Curse of the Bastard.
Well, Lord, right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of witchcraft, every spirit working from the kingdom of darkness, in Jesus' name. I send out the warring angels right now to scramble the plans and the assignments that the enemy has against the people of God, the body of Christ, Lake Hamilton, and every other camp that works for the Lord. I bind the power of darkness off of it in Jesus' name. And I bind the deaf and dumb spirit right now, and the sleepy spirit, and my growling stomach. In Jesus' name. You know, once again, God is such an orchestrator. He is an orchestrator. Actually didn't know that I was going to speak again, but... You know, the Lord keeps telling me to stop doing that. He usually really put something in my spirit, and it was that message on warfare. And so that's what I came prepared to give. And then when I found I was going to speak again, I was kind of scrambling. But not really, because I think that I'm going to talk about a spirit that I'm sure is what was keeping Tammy from knowing that God loved her. It kept me from knowing that God loved me. And I know that it is working in others that keeps you from getting through to God and God getting through to you. And it's the bastard spirit. So I want you to open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. Now this particular spirit... Of course, I was aware of this spirit long before I knew what this spirit was, because it was dominating my life. And just because you don't know about a spirit doesn't mean it's not ruling you. And I believe the bastard spirit is a ruler spirit. I'm not making any claims here, and you don't have to quote me. But I believe the bastard spirit is the root of rejection. The ruler spirit of rejection. The big daddy of rejection. Okay, so let's look at chapter 23, verse 2. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. How awful. That's a serious thing. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Now, we heard the other night, I don't remember who it was talking about different numbers of years over a generation at different times. Sometimes it was this many years and sometimes it was that many years. And so we have, you know, kind of set like 40 years as being a generation. But we heard that sometimes it goes 67, sometimes more. So even at 40 years, 10 generations is 400 years. That's a long time. So we could go backwards in our bloodline 400 years, and we don't have the slightest idea what was there in those generations before us. But I believe that almost every single person alive, except Jesus, is affected by this spirit. Now, in my life, I'd never even heard of such a thing until my uncle, Ernie Marzullo, who's Frank Marzullo's brother, came to visit me. He had lived in Connecticut, and we lived in Texas, so we didn't see Uncle Ernie very often, and my Aunt Barbara, who was my daddy's sister. And in 1988, he came to visit. My dad had died, and he was lonesome to see my mother and see how she was doing, so he came down. Now, I was 6 months old the last time he had been in our city, and my mother wanted me to come over and bring the children. Well, Mike and the children had gone up to his parents' lake house, so I was home by myself. And Mom said, I want you to come over and see Uncle Ernie and Aunt Barbara. And I said, well, Mom, you know, I don't even know them, you know. Well, I know they're going to want to see you. I said, okay, I'll come. So I went over there, and when I walked in the house, Uncle Ernie was talking about these trips. He traveled with Frank Marzullo, and they had been all over the world and doing deliverance, and he had the most fantastic stories. Nothing I'd ever heard of. You know, snakes slithering all sorts. My mother and her new husband, she remarried. I was thinking about those years. Somehow that didn't matter. But I'm terrible in math, so we won't go into that. But anyway, so he's talking about snakes slithering on the floor and everything. Well, you know, my mom, we were raised in the Methodist Church. And the Methodists, you don't hear stuff like that too much in the Methodist Church. And so when I walked in, I was captivated by these stories. And I think my mom and her husband were ready for him to, like, go somewhere else. But anyway, I was enthralled because I was a Christian. I had been a Christian for 11 years, and I was beginning, God was beginning to show me things through His Word that were wrong with me. You know, things that, you know, I read about what a godly wife is supposed to be like, and I'm not any of those. And so I began to, you know, look at myself, and I wanted to see the things that were not godly. So I made a list, actually, on a piece of paper. I just drew a line, and I put all my good stuff over here, and I put all my bad stuff over here. And from that bad stuff, I began to notice that, wow, this, now I see this in my dad, and I see this in my mom, and I see this in my mother's, not in my mother, but in my mother's sister. So I began to learn about generational curses that way. Well, I was really seeking to be the woman that God wanted me to be. And so Uncle Ernie came to town, and the next day I invited him to my home for dinner, and he got to my house, and when he walked in the front door, he's Italian, you know, so they kiss this cheek and kiss that cheek. And so he's off, and he's praying in tongues. He just started praying in tongues, walking all over my house. And Aunt Barbara was making small talk, and I wanted to go, shh, shh, shh. I wanted to follow him around, you know. What is he doing? So he comes back in there, and he says, can I pray for you? And I said, sure. Sat down very reverently, you know, and he's, and you know, there may have been other spirits. The only ones that really stuck with me was the spirit of Jezebel and the bastard spirit. And I mean, first of all, I've never heard anybody pray like that. You know, we pray quietly. And he began to come against these spirits, and I looked up at him. I'm like, well, he really wasn't talking to me, you see. Right. So sometimes I go pray for people, and they don't understand these things. So I just say, okay, I'm going to pray for you. I don't want you to listen to me because I'm speaking to the Spirit. And you, if you listen to me, you might get offended, because that's how I felt. The bastard spirit, excuse me? I was the baby of my family. My parents had been married for all these years. I'm not a bastard, as I understood it, you know, as I understood it. But we're gonna hear more about what that spirit actually is. But when we sat down at the table, I said, okay, well, Uncle Ernie, you know, why don't you tell me about these spirits? So he started, I mean, all I knew about Jezebel was she was bad. That's all I knew about her. She was bad. And God had been in a process through the Word and repentance and, you know, submitting to God and to the Word. Jezebel had basically been pushed out of the house because I wouldn't give her fixes anymore. You know, these demons are almost like a drug addict. When they want to manifest, they need a fix. And there will be a satanic setup for you to walk right into it so they get their fix. And sometimes it's the tiniest little thing that will set you off because it needs to manifest. So anyway, Uncle Ernie began to tell me about the bastard spirit. And this was his definition. He said, a bastard spirit comes from a pregnancy that is not wanted but maintained. And I didn't understand that at the time that he said it. Well, it's not wanted but it's maintained. What do you mean by that? I'm like, you mean my mama didn't want me? Well, I already felt that way, you know, not because my mother was not loving or good or anything like that. This spirit it's a cruel spirit because it was generational. It came down through the family line, but it causes you to feel like you're not loved. Now, here I was, the baby of the family. You know how babies are treated. They get the best, but it didn't matter. I mean, I was loved. I was doted over. I was protected. I was never mistreated or abused. Except, you know, my brother kind of got at me sometimes, but, you know, we just fought a lot, and he was bigger than me, so he always won. I mean, but that developed. I used to think that my anger was his fault. He's the one who made me angry. No, anger is also a spirit, and I was born with anger. And so, it's part of this bastard spirit. Anger is one of the things that comes with the bastard spirit. But anyway, as he began to talk more about it, talking about the manifestations of it, I mean, every hair on me stood up because I knew that I had it because of all the manifestations. But the reason I had it was because he had no knowledge of this, but my mother's mother had been abandoned at birth. So you start thinking about why children are abandoned, why children are given up for adoption. It's usually because somebody got pregnant and they didn't want to be pregnant. And so the baby is either aborted or they give it up for adoption or foster or whatever. So he had no knowledge that my grandmother had been abandoned at birth. But I knew that spirit was in me. Now, how do you get rid of that? How did it get there? Those were my questions. I knew that because my grandmother was abandoned, here was this bastard spirit that was ruling my life and keeping me from a lot of things. Okay, here is the definition of bastard. In the Strong's Concordance, now this is... The word bastard is only used like 3 or 4 times in the whole Bible. In the Old Testament, the meaning for bastard, it's Hebrew. It's an unused root meaning to. Now, as I read these definitions, I want you to listen to the words and see if that word is operating in your life. Because I've learned that by the definitions of these things, you can discover the manifestations. It means to alienate, to transfer to another, such as a title, property, or rights. That's what alienate means. Transfer to another, such as a title, property, or rights. To cause, to lose former feelings of love, loyalty, attachment, or a sense of filling a useful and respectful position in society. So that's kind of like being an outcast. Okay? It also means a mongrel, and that is the offspring of parents of different breeds. one of uncertain ancestry. Offspring. So, see, in the Old Testament, it's talking about a Hebrew was not allowed to take, to have a wife or a husband from another race, another nation. And so if there was a Hebrew and they married a Hebrew woman, then their children were legitimate. But if a Hebrew woman married a man outside of her nation, that child was considered a bastard. And they were not allowed to go into the congregation of the Lord. When everybody went to the tabernacle or the temple or whatever it was at that time, they could not go in. Literally, physically, they could not enter in. Okay? Let's see. God forbid. Okay, here is the Webster's Dictionary meaning. Of an inferior or atypical kind, not having qualities of a higher category, having a questionable origin, is strange and to cause to be withdrawn. So that is the Webster Dictionary definition. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, and you can read the rest of it, but I'm going to look at verse 3. It says, neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give to their sons, nor their daughters shalt thou take unto your sons. So when they were moving across the land, God said, you do not give your daughters to the sons of the people of those lands, and you do not take the daughters and give them to your sons. It was a very serious thing. God loves purity. In this day, he was interested in keeping the bloodline pure. Okay, in Zechariah, also the offspring of those children were considered bastards because it goes to the 10th generation. So if these two mix and they have a child, it's considered an illegitimate birth, and their generations for 10 years after that. So they were also excluded from the congregation of the Lord. Zechariah 9:6 says, and a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod. And that the definition of Ashdod, now listen again to the word, a ravager, one who practices ravaging. Ravage means damage resulting from ravaging, to lay waste, like a wasteland, to plunder, destroy, ruin. Ravage suggests violent, often repeated or continuing depredation, pillaging, looting, taking the booty, plundering, a destroying agent, something taken by force or theft. So see all those words in there. I can spot the bastard spirit because you could give someone who has the bastard spirit a brand new car, and within 6 months it's going to look like a garbage can. Because they plunder, they pillage, they trash it, they tear it up, they have no respect for it. And that's one of the manifestations of this spirit. Theft, people who have the bastard spirit, most thieves have a bastard spirit. And it's because when they are feel like an alien, they kind of don't have any respect for themselves. And they do things that are disrespectful to society, to themselves, to the parents, to the church. There's just that problem. So in the Old Testament days, and Ashdod was a real place that they were sent to live. Kind of like the lepers. You know, they were outcast. Now, in the New Testament, the reference is in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Let's look at those. Because there's a big difference in the bastard, how they were looked at. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. starting at verse 5, it says, "And ye have forgotten the exhortations which speaketh unto you as sons. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For when the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?" Okay, let's see. "But if ye be without chastisement, of which ye all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, like in their own wrath. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them who are exercised by it." So in the New Testament, you don't have to actually be a bastard for this spirit to be on you. You see from the scripture that lack of discipline will allow the bastard spirit to come into a child. And as parents, know this. When your children disobey, they're actually saying, "Please love me enough to make me do the right thing. Please." You know, I've seen parents that just cannot bring themselves to correct their children the way they need to be corrected. And they have no idea where that is going to take that child. They do not feel loved if they are not disciplined. Children who are let run wild, they're begging to be disciplined. And when you let your children do that, nobody wants to be around them. And then, you know, that spirit of rejection is there because it's like, "Oh, here they come." You know, nobody wants them around. They're not a blessing. Children are a blessing to the Lord if you train them and raise them up the way God says. If you don't, they're not a blessing. They're meant to be a blessing. But you have to discipline your children in order to love them. And they feel loved when they're disciplined. Okay, the New Testament definition of a bastard is a spurious or illegal son born of a father and mother who were not married, conceived unlawfully, not genuine, listen to these words, not genuine, not authentic, false, not belonging, and counterfeit. Those are some feelings and some characteristics of someone who has the bastard spirit. Okay? And that is where rejection comes in, when you don't feel loved. Now, in the New Testament, it's not literal and physical that they cannot enter the kingdom or the congregation of the Lord, but it has a spiritual effect. In the Old Testament, it was literal and physical. You can't even go in with the people. Nowadays, you can come in with the people, but this spirit will spiritually keep you uninterested in the things of God, unable to comprehend and receive the things of God. And I believe that the struggle that many people have is because this spirit is at work in their life. There's a block. You know, Tammy said, "In case you don't know, he loves you." And he does. But you know, I could stand up here, and every teacher could stand up here and tell you again and again and again and again, "He loves you, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you." But if this spirit is working in your life, God loves everybody but me. He doesn't love me. That's what it does to you. And it causes lots and lots of problems. You can receive it generationally or without discipline. You can receive it if you are conceived out of wedlock. Now, many people, you know, like we, and I'm speaking from personal experience. Our family, and I don't speak for anybody else. I'm speaking for my family. we had one of the manifestations of the bastard spirit is fornication. Fornication. Because you don't feel loved, and you know that that is an expression of love, and so you look to that so that you can feel loved. But it doesn't work. So women who have it will go from man to man to man to man. Men who have it will go from woman to woman to woman to woman. And it can be the cause of divorce, because along with that spirit, because of that block, there is an unloving spirit present, and the unloving spirit will cause you not to be able to receive love. And it also causes you not to be able to give love the way you want to. Can't receive it the way you need to, and can't give it the way you want to. And so people with this spirit feel alienated. They feel isolated. You can be in a crowd of people and everything looks right, but you feel absolutely alone in that crowd. And like nobody loves you. Nobody really cares. In fact, nobody really wants me. They're just tolerating my presence. That's what it does to you. It's a cruel spirit. Cruel spirit. In my life, and in anybody who has the bastard spirit, they have an inferiority complex. They feel like everybody else is better than them. I walked in that. For 30 years, I was 30 years old when Jesus came. I had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and he expressed it. He broke through and manifested himself to me, and it was beautiful what Ada did this afternoon. I'm sorry you men weren't in here, because we had a time of love, loving on Jesus, and Jesus loving on the women. And I thought, how appropriate, because this spirit needs to be dealt with totally. So inferiority complexes makes you feel less important, not good enough, on a lower level than everybody else, and passed over. That's the way the bastard spirit will make you feel. And the result of that is either extreme timidity or exaggerated aggression. Those are the two. You'll go either one way or you'll go the other. Extreme timidity, shy. You've seen people that are just so shy they can't even look at you or speak to you or want to speak to you. They want to shrink back. They don't want to be seen. Don't see me. You can tell. They don't even want to be. Don't see me. And the other one is exaggerated aggression. They'll come across very abrasive and in your face kind of, and you know, you're going to notice me or else. And that's just as bad as being extremely timid, because both of those will cause people to reject you. You know people that just make you uncomfortable because they're just so forceful and so they push themselves on you. And then the rejection is reinforced, because what rejection does is it will cause you to behave in a manner that will cause people to reject you. So you're already feeling rejected, and so if you respond in exaggerated aggression, people are like, and then rejection comes up and says, see, they don't like you either. It's a satanic setup for rejection to be reinforced and reinforced and reinforced. And it's like everybody, you know, you get off the, why does everybody reject me? That's how you feel. That's what the spirit does to you. And let me tell you, the purpose of this bastard spirit is to keep you from knowing God, and it's to keep you from knowing who you are in Jesus. Fear. Now, when I was a little girl, you know, we think that this is when it originated, But I would have this reoccurring nightmare, and it used to torment me. See, the demons, they don't care how old you are. They'll start tormenting you even as a baby. I believe sometimes when little babies scream out in the night, you know, there's tormenting demons at work. They just can't tell you what it is that's tormenting them. But I used to have this reoccurring nightmare that my mother and daddy and I would go to the grocery store, and we would check out our groceries, and it was time to go to the parking lot, and my mother would look at me and say, "You can go on to the car, we're just about done." And I would walk out of the store, and every car in the parking lot was exactly like ours. So the whole parking lot, I didn't know which car was ours. And I would walk out, but I would keep my eyes over my shoulder so that I could see them, because I felt like if I got in this car, that they were going to get in this car and leave me. So that was fear of abandonment. And that's what that comes with the bastard spirit. That's why it impressed me when he said, it made me think of my grandmother who was abandoned at birth. That's in my understanding at that time, I thought, well, that's where it came from, because she was abandoned. And then I had this nightmare because it was fear of abandonment. It's also the root of phobias, because you have this tremendous fear. Fear is right there. Fear is also, I think, a ruler spirit all on its own, but it's a very big deal in this bastard spirit. So you have fear of abandonment, and then phobias. You couldn't get me on an elevator. I related to you getting locked in the bathroom. Mine, where I thought it came from, I remember that my uncle died when I was in the second grade, and we had to go down to the, it was a great uncle actually, we had to go down to the train station to meet his casket that was coming in for the burial. And, hello? There was a phone booth in that train station, and I wanted to play in it. And I got in the phone booth, and you know, you would have to either push the door to get in, and it kind of had a spring in it, so it would automatically close. Well, I got in there, and that door closed, and I went to get out, and I couldn't get out, and I went berserk. Now, I didn't know that I was afraid to be in closed up places. But when I was born with bronchial asthma, and my mother and them thought that the reason I was afraid of small places is because when I was little, when those asthma attacks would happen and I couldn't breathe, they felt like I was afraid I was going to suffocate. And that may have been part of it. But you wouldn't get me on an elevator. I didn't ride an elevator till I was 30 years old. I mean, you know, fear is huge. It's monumental. If you have it, nobody can understand it, and people would make fun of me. But you know what? Fear is bigger than embarrassment and ridicule. I didn't care. They could make fun of me all they wanted to. I was not getting on that elevator. Needles. I had a phobia of needles. Oh, man. When I went to the doctor's office, I can remember a little bitty girl. It took everyone on staff to hold me down to give me a shot. So my parents never worried about me and drugs. They would have to chase me to stick me with a needle. And I couldn't swallow a pill. It's like you put that pill in your mouth, you know, just put it in your mouth and now drink the water. My throat would just close up. Couldn't swallow a pill. I never went barefooted in my life, because if I stepped on something rusty, I'd have to get a tetanus shot. Forget that. I'm wearing shoes. I didn't like crowds, you know, to go to a wedding or anything like that. I didn't like it. I didn't want to be in a big group of people. I was scared to death of roaches, bees. Those were my two insects that were just... No. I think I was probably 18 years old, and this bumblebee, we were at the beach, one of those big black, you know. I was laying on the beach, and that thing was getting around. Of course, have you ever noticed they don't get around anybody else, just the one who fears them? See, because fear draws. Fear draws the thing you're afraid of. And man, I ran a mile and a half down that beach with a little umbrella, and I was batting up. Did it matter that I looked like a crazy woman out there? No, because the bee might sting me, you know, and that's kind of like a shot. No. Phobias. So, let's see. It was Uncle Ernie who made me aware of this scripture, Jeremiah 23:20, verse 3. Let me put it that way. I'm not going to be able to find Jeremiah now. Jeremiah 20:3. And it came to pass on the next day that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah unto him, The Lord hath not called thy name Pashur, but Magormisabib. And that means terror on every side. So when he prays for that spirit of fear, he goes after the spirit of Magormisabib. Terror on every side. I thought, when he said that, I said, I had that. Terror on every side. I remember going to bed at night, and I had a fear of being killed. Now, that goes along with the abortion spirit. Now, I'm not going to get into that today, but there's a CD here on the spirit of abortion, and it has all kinds of things. And these two are kind of like married together, because many of the manifestations of the bastard spirit are also with abortion, because abortion is rejection to the point of murder, to the point of death. And so these have some overlapping spirits in them. But we would watch these scary movies at night before we'd go to bed, and I always had a fear that somebody was going to come in and stab me. So I would put a pillow under me and a pillow on top of me in case the knife came, you know, it wouldn't get all the way in me. That's fear. But, you know, we don't know what's going on in the minds of our children. I mean, I was a little girl when these things came in, when they started manifesting. I had a rose bush outside my bedroom door or window, and when the wind would blow, it would scratch my screen, and I would be scared. I would go get my daddy, and he would walk me around the house in the middle of the night to show me that there's nothing out there. Do you see that rose bush? That's what it is. Well, I was thankful for that, but did that console me? No, because you can't console fear. You really can't. So if you recognize fear in your children, don't say there's nothing to be afraid of. Say, in the name of Jesus, I command that fear to come out of you now in Jesus' name. It works. My little grandbaby, when the Lord told me to quit being polite to the devil, we were out on the porch, and she's picking flowers off of this vine that I had, and you know, that was okay for a little while. Thank you. That's so pretty. Oh, Grammy just loves that flower. You know, and she brought me more and more and more and more, and I'm thinking, you know, that thing was covered with flowers. I said, that's enough. Now, Grammy's got plenty. Grammy doesn't need any more flowers. And she kind of looked at me like, I'll decide. You know, it was one of those looks. And God had just told me that morning in my prayer time, and then here we are out on the porch. And so I see her doing that, and I said, look here, Grammy's got a book. Come over here and let Grammy read you a book. And I heard, you're going to distract the devil? And I thought, no. I said, in the name of Jesus, I speak to that spirit of rebellion. I command you to come out of my grandbaby now. You come out of her in Jesus' name. And as soon as I pointed my finger at her, she went, like I had said, attention. And when I finished, it was done. You know, when I'm finished, I'm just done. She goes, amen. I said, yes, amen. And then she was not, maybe I did distract the devil. Not with a book, but like that, because she didn't go back to the flowers. But it worked, you see. You address what you see. Don't pamper the devil. Don't pet it. And don't try to not embarrass it. And, you know, it didn't scare her. She didn't go, oh, Grammy. You know, it was like the demon. I was talking to the demon, and the demon listened. And it didn't even affect her. So don't worry about addressing the demon when you see it. Don't be polite to the devil. Okay. Okay. Now, Jesus was telling some of the women up here today that I haven't looked you over. I haven't overlooked you. I see you. But you know, many times when you have this spirit, you don't feel like Jesus sees you. You do feel that he has overlooked you. I call it the invisible spirit. You just feel invisible. And again, Satan will cause setups for that. You know, like if you go into a place and you have an inferiority complex and you, okay, I'm gonna do this, because you're not gonna let it rule you, but it rules you. So you walk into a place and nobody goes, "Oh, hi, good to see you." They just walk past you, which I'm really bad about, because when I'm focused on something, I don't see anything but what I'm focused on. And that's why I said what I said this morning. You know, please forgive me if any of us have walked past you and not acknowledged you and made you feel like you didn't matter, because you do. But see, this spirit won't let you even understand that. So if someone walks in and they don't acknowledge you, and then that spirit says, "They didn't even see you because you don't even matter." You know, if it had been somebody else, because it's like, oh, they like you, but they don't like me. That's what the spirit does. And then when they walk right past you, that spirit says, "They didn't even see you." You know why? Because nobody sees you. I mean, that spirit will just, it's cruel. It's a cruel spirit. And you know what? It's really, I'm amazed to see sometimes a person who, let's say a person who is really abused as a child. They have this spirit big time if they're abused as a child because they're not loved properly. And then there's other children who came from a family like mine where there was no abuse. It was so much love. And yet, that person who would be treated like me as a child has the same spirit as somebody who was totally abused and neglected.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.